I think I'm going to talk to you today about prophecies of troubles to come. Ancient and near prophecies that show Planet X's arrival, ISIS's invasion and resulting civil war, treachery that divides Britain and the United States, who has a deceptive alliance with Russia. The man-child and the bride appear to be in safety and prosperity in these revelations, while saving those who didn't prepare by eating their Passover lamb, right? And those who don't listen in time suffer and die. Well, first I'm going to talk to you about Hildegard's prophecies. That's a nun who lived in the 12th century, who became famous for her accurate prophecies. Here's one right here I'm going to share with you. The time is coming when princes and peoples will reject the authority of the Pope. You got it right that time. Some countries will prefer their own church rulers to the Pope. That happened too. The German Empire will be divided, just as it was. The church property will be secularized, and priests will be persecuted. And as just as all true priests are, but this certainly happened. And after the birth of Antichrist, she didn't say the Antichrist, but Antichrist, which is really strong in the earth today, heretics will preach their false doctrines undisturbed, resulting in Christians having doubts about their holy Catholic faith. True. And you know, Catholic means universal, and there is a universal church, the called out ones, and that faith is truly in doubt in many places. So many have, and many are doubting it now, especially with this new doctrine of this Pope, and particularly in the letter, that's something we can see. She said, at that period when Antichrist shall be born, there will be many wars, and right order shall be destroyed on earth, which is what we're seeing now, right? Heresy will be rampant, and the heretics will preach their errors openly, without restraint. That's fulfilled. Even among Christians, doubt and skepticism will be entertained concerning the beliefs of Catholicism. Well, all of that was fulfilled. And she says, towards the end of the world, mankind will be purified through sufferings. True. This will be true especially of the clergy, who will be robbed of all property. When the clergy has adopted a simple manner of living, conditions will improve. Yep, the clergy has plundered the church, and of course they're going to pay for it. They've made up their doctrines, which make them very rich. At this time, as a punishment for their sins, Christians especially will attempt armed resistance to those who at that time are persecuting them. Yes, and we've said the same thing, that God is bringing judgment, and one of the reasons he's going to bring it is because Christians are going to rise up contrary to their covenant, which is clearly against it. And this is going to bring judgment upon them. In fact, it even goes on to say, sensing no concern for the death of their bodies. But you know, the Lord has promised the death of their bodies if they do this. A powerful wind will rise in the north, carrying heavy fog and the densest dust by divine command, and it will fill their throats and eyes, so that they will cease their savagery and be stricken with great fear. Well, I don't know if you know it or not, but the chemtrails have gotten particularly heavy, so much so that people on the ground can smell them much more than ever before. Clouds are constant, and they're using that for manipulation of the mind, and they can do it just as easily with fear. They can do that. So, amazing. Then will the Christian people, the Holy Godhead, will accomplish signs and wonders. I guess it means through the Holy Godhead, will accomplish signs and wonders as is accomplished them at the time of Moses with the pillar of cloud, and as Michael the archangel did when he fought the heathen for the sake of the Christians. Well, that is so true. We're on the verge of, even though we have seen some pretty tremendous miracles in the last few years, we're on the verge of much, much greater than this. And it will impress and it will bring in many people. Because of Michael's help, God, because the Bible says in Daniel that he'll stand up, right? Because of Michael's help, God's faithful children will march under his protection. God's faithful children will march under his protection. There is just something to be said about obedience. All of the judgments in the Bible came because of disobedience, and now people even have a doctrine that they don't have to obey. Well, you don't have faith if you can't obey. They will decimate their foes and achieve victory through God's power. Yeah, we see that everywhere in the Bible. Moses decimated the foes. Mordecai decimated the foes. Just on and on. As a result of this, a large number of heathens will join Christians in the true faith. And they will say, "The God of the Christians is true, because such wondrous works have been accomplished among the Christians." Yes, and that's happening even now too, but nothing like it's going to happen. Tremendous, tremendous move of the Spirit. It's going to make the devil and all the religious people extremely mad, just as has happened in history. And after that, there will be so few men left that seven women will fight for one man, that they will say to the man, "Marry me to take the disgrace from me." And then I believe there was a personal opinion and a letter interpretation. Because it says, "For in those days it will be a disgrace for a woman to be without a child, as it was by the Jews in the Old Testament." Well, it's a disgrace today for a woman, a spiritual woman, an entity, a spiritual entity of people, a group of people, like the Bible uses that, to be without the fruit of Jesus Christ. But it's so. Before the comet, and I do believe that everything she's describing here is Planet X, which does take on the appearance of a comet more than anything else. Before the comet, or Planet X, comes, many nations, the good excepted, will be scoured with want and famine. The great nation in the ocean that is inhabited by people of different tribes and descent, which I believe she's talking about the U.S., don't you? By an earthquake, storm, and tidal waves will be devastated. There it is. That's just what we've been saying. Storm and tidal waves will be devastated. It will be divided. Why is it going to be divided? Because the covenant will divide not only Israel, but spiritual Israel, the people of God. And in great part, submerged. Well, that's exactly what we see of the maps after the New Madrid and California, and such, and New York too, by the way. That's exactly what we see. That nation will also have many misfortunes at sea and lose its colonies in the east through a tiger and a lion. Whoa. Wow. And this could be, of course, China and Britain, which there's more prophecies coming down as we read down. The comet, by its tremendous pressure, will force much out of the ocean and flood many countries, causing much want and many plagues. After the great comet, the great nation, remember the great comet of Tecumseh's prophecy? It brought about the New Madrid quakes the first time. The great nation will be devastated by earthquakes, storms, and great waves of water, causing much want and plagues. The ocean will also flood many other countries, so that all coastal cities will live in fear, and many destroyed. Can you imagine her having never seen anything like this, prophesying this? It was, probably took some nerve, you know. All seacoast cities will be fearful, and many of them will be destroyed by tidal waves. And most living creatures will be killed, and even those who escape will die from a horrible disease. Well, this sounds like all that we have heard of the destruction from Planet X and the Bairu, doesn't it? For in none of these cities does a person live according to the laws of God. Peace will return to Europe when the white flower again takes possession of the throne of France. Well, this could represent the Lord, because there will be no peace till he comes and destroys the nations. And in some places there are other prophecies tacked on to this, of what some consider prophetic words, which in my opinion were her teachings about the end times, had nothing to do with prophecy. And it's quite clear to me, because these could, you know, bring disrepute to her great prophetic gift. That's why I'm saying this. And as others have said, she became looked up to for her prophecies, but wrongly got into teaching. And it was just a matter of understanding. It can be seen that her teachings were all letter and no spirit, just as many prophecy teachers today. It's all letter. They haven't seen, had the revelation of the spiritual interpretation. So this is no criticism of hers. Her gift was great and needed among the Catholics. So I also want to share with you some of the Van Rensburg prophecies. And I gathered some of them off of William Frederick's site. And he wrote some notes in here. I'm using portions of it, not the whole thing. But he wrote this put this together on December the 9th, 2013. And it's from the Nelson Mandela and Van Rensburg prophecies. Well, that's kind of a funny statement, because all of these are Van Rensburg's prophecies, and he did prophesy about Nelson Mandela very accurately, along with a lot of other things. He was dead on. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, there lived a man in South Africa called Sainer, which is their word for seer, you know, prophet, in other words. Seer Van Rensburg. Rensburg gave many prophecies, of which many have come true. And you can read a short biography, and I'll give you the link here when we post this. And here is a list compiled by one author of his fulfilled prophecies, taken from the book Voice of a Prophet. And the reason I'm going to read some of these is not to speak about the things I was entitling at the beginning here, but just to point out that they were very accurate in what they said. And then we'll get to the things, obviously, that are important to us. especially at this particular time. Before anybody could imagine such a thing as an aircraft carrier, he had a vision of this strange ship in a Namibian harbor. At that stage, the harbor of Lüderitz was not even a proper harbor. It was a small bay where fishing dinghies used to beach. He saw the British destruction of 64,000 Boer farmsteads and the detestable suffering they caused to nearly 180,000 cattle and horses by cutting their fetlock tendons, or Achilles tendons, and these animals were left to die from thirst. Yeah, war is very ugly. It don't matter who does it. The wars that we are starting in the Middle East are really ugly. Most of them are started in order to wipe out Christianity and the enemies of the Sunnis. So he prophesied of World War I and the deceit that led the USA to enter the war, the Russian Communist Revolution, and the Holocaust of Christians during their reign. Estimates have it that the USSR communists killed as many as 50 million people between 1917 and 1945. The Great Influenza Epidemic of 1918, mining riots of South Africa 1925, the economic collapse of 1929, the Second World War, the 1948 takeover of government by nationalists in South Africa. He foresaw the race troubles started by the communists in South Africa, by the South African government, right? The creation of a republic in South Africa in 1960, South Africa leaving the British Commonwealth, the rise of black power in South Africa after 61, the assassination of Dr. H.F. Verwoerd, I'm trying to pronounce it, the South African Prime Minister. He saw South Africa's involvement in the Angola War against the Russian-backed Cubans. Margaret Thatcher's the first Prime Minister of England, Nelson Mandela's imprisonment and release, death of Princess Diana, just a bunch of stuff, right? The first Gulf War, black takeover of government in South Africa, and this happened 80 years after he had the vision. He saw that moderate colored and white people would rule one province, the Western Cape Province, for one term before losing to the ANC, African National Congress, right? And the ANC is now, 2011, arranging for a massive influx of ANC supporters to the Western Cape Province. The law is being prepared for Parliament that will put colored and white people out of jobs in order that the black ANC supporters from other provinces can get the jobs. By doing this, the ANC will have imported 100,000 required voters to win back the Western Cape. Hey, I wonder if they learned... No, it's the other way around. I wonder if they learned that from Barack. But anyway... The September 11 attack on the World Trade Center, Iraqi war against Saddam Hussein. This, however, infuriated the Islamic world, and sinister planning against the USA took place. The planning seems to take place within the USA by the same sinister entity that caused the previous two world wars. Agreed. Everybody knows that now. Well, I should say everybody. The murder of South African mining magnate Brett Kebble. He saw millions of Africans coming into South Africa illegally during the black government. He saw a massive dip similar to 1929 in the world economy. He said, what is difficult to pinpoint is the fact that he appears to indicate that the collapse is caused or planned by the capitalists, quote-unquote, in order to take control of the world economic system. Remember that he saw this nearly 100 years ago, in 1914. Yeah. All the aforementioned have already occurred or are in the process of happening. And that looks like a pretty impressive list. And notice that he foresaw the imprisonment and release of Nelson Mandela. And there's more to the Mandela prophecy. And some of it I didn't put in here because it was less important to other nations now. And he saw very specific things about Mandela's funeral. He foresaw violence and civil war that will erupt in South Africa, etc., etc. He stated that plans are being made by the nation's Communist Party to slaughter all whites in the country upon his death. G2B sources say. Anyway, England will eventually have a greater black than white population. The International Express newspaper in England reports that about 100,000 illegal immigrants are deported monthly. A cataclysmic event will cause many Africans and Indians to flee to Britain. He saw many islands along the Indonesian, Malaysian area, and the Asian Pacific Rim sinking into the sea. He saw the southern part of Australia inundated with water, possibly the sea. Yes, it is. It is actually sinking. I read articles on that. And it is expected to be underwater soon. Parts of Japan will sink below sea level. Just think how far back these were prophesied. Well, now we know how possible this is. There's just a honeycomb underneath Japan, and the more earthquakes, the worse it gets. It is sinking. He saw turmoil and protracted skirmishes leading to World War III. A civil uprising in the USA. The USA, Spain, Germany, Japan, and England, with some Commonwealth countries, will be the main allies in World War III. Most of Western Europe will be overrun, listen to this, will be overrun and devastated by people from the Middle East. That has happened. And it's very destructive, and we ain't seen nothing yet. This is the overthrow of Western civilization. He goes on to say this will be so quick that proper defensive action will not be ready in time. Does this sound like George Washington's vision of the Middle Eastern and North African peoples invading the United States and destroying it? In comes ISIS. All right. The troops are here. They worked really hard overseas to do exactly what they're going to try to do here, right? A high British official will commit treason against the Allies to try and save his country from nuclear destruction. After near total destruction of the West eventually manages to regain the upper hand. Near total destruction. Large areas of the USA are totally destroyed, and Europe is virtually uninhabitable. Thousands of European refugees come by sea to South Africa. In other words, and now Africans and Middle Easterners are invading that country, and it looks like people that are there are going to leave. The refugees are transported inland by train from Cape Town, and tent villages appear over a distance of 400 miles along the railway line as far as the town of Dar. Civilized and competent government will be reinstated in South Africa after World War III. in regards to what we said in 34, which was a civil uprising in the USA, which is something that's still coming, obviously. In regards to that, the USA uprising, another prophecy researcher read the entire book about the prophecies of Van Rensburg and had this to say in regards to World War III and his prophecies. Seer Van Rensburg's vision doesn't tell us what this is about. However, the Romanian prophet Dimitru Dudeman, his visions and prophecies tell us very clearly. From Dimitru's book, Through the Fire Without Burning, he said, when the Americans will think that it is peace and safety, from the middle of the country some of the people will fight the government, started by the communists. Could it be Texas, I wonder? They're really hammering Texas, you know, with weather warfare. Every time their governor speaks up against President Obama, they get hammered. Started by the communists. Well, that's happening, right? And he puts, socialists, progressives, right? The government will be busy with internal problems, and then from the ocean, Russia will bomb the nuclear weapon storehouses in one day, and America will burn. Yep. The people, by the way, the conservatives and the right-wing people that, and the Christians, so to speak, that rise up against the government, are not going to win because great destruction is going to come on the tail of that rebellion. Not only are many of them going to die, but great destruction is coming. A world nuclear war is going to start. Anyway, the sequence of events is an economic collapse worldwide. Massive waves of illegal immigration, which is what we're seeing, these cause civil wars to break out in many countries, including here. Then World War III begins. We are not given the year, but need to watch the signs God has given us through the prophets in order to know the reason and times. In regards to World War III, there is a more detailed description of the details of Rensburg's World War III prophecies. During 1942 and 43, a member of the Asiwa Brandwag Upa Kraus gave an almost unbelievable description to Mr. E.L. Britz of the Seer's visions on the outbreak of the future world war. And they said, because England fears a Russian bomb attack, they connive in secret with the Russians. They betray Western military secrets to Russia and sign treaties with Russia against the USA. Russia mistrusts the English. The USA learns of this treachery and realizes the danger of English betrayal against it. The great clash between American and British troops takes place in Egypt after the next world war has started. So we can watch out for that. We'll see if this is a fulfilled prophecy too. The English army is defeated and those still alive after the battle are taken prisoner. It is also there where our troops are stopped and disarmed. The English attempt to get help in secret from the Japanese, but are unsuccessful. And during the night, Russia storms through Turkey. As you can tell, they have something against Turkey right now. And in that day, of course, Turkey was larger. It was even into Iraq, right? En route to the Suez region, while Turkey offers no resistance. The Russians make contact with the American army in Syria and Palestine, where they, that is the Russians, are stopped by the Americans. Palestine is destroyed during the fighting. We know about that, don't we, from the Bible. Some Arabs side with the Americans. Many oil fields in the Middle East are set ablaze. The Red Army is defeated by the more advanced secret weaponry of the USA. The Russians break through to Spain and rout to Gibraltar, and when they are stopped there, they turn on England and attack them from the air. England is totally destroyed. Many secret weapons and gas is used everywhere, while horror, probably atomic, and other things, bombs sow death and destruction, nations will be annihilated. While some nations cease to exist, others will still survive, but will be worthless. It will be a devastating war, and everyone will be expected to go and fight. Our Bauer nation will not be destroyed, for we have a purpose and a destination. England will be a very minor factor. Ireland also gains its freedom and drives the English from their country. Holland surrenders without a whimper. France will somehow survive. Russia will be finished. And although the USA will not be destroyed, it will be a very weak nation. The Germans declare peace in Europe and become the strongest nation in a very short time. The beginning of oppression, war breaks out in Europe around April or May, year unknown. As soon as the thaw sets in, by the time there is no more ice and snow, it will have progressed considerably, so much so that it seems as if the Russians are winning. An atmosphere of oppression will prevail not only in Europe, but also in our own country. The thing about the Britons and the turning away from America and the war between them and so on and so forth, you're going to hear that again in quite a few of these as we go on. It says the Germans will make use of the opportunity to take revenge on England, which will be totally annihilated. And as usual, the USA in Europe will initially flee, but return later with a strong military force and stop Russia in Spain. I think I'll talk about that later. Van Rensburg says that the Germans will be fully armed, probably with secret armaments from underground arsenals, which indeed is the case. The war will be very swift, destructive, and dreadful. Nations will be annihilated very quickly by means of air attacks, horror, which they have in parentheses, nuclear, question mark, yep. Horror bombs, he called them horror bombs, and germ warfare, laser beams. The worst will be electric beams sowing death and destruction above and below. Even the soil will be destroyed, and few people will remain alive. I also found it interesting that he foresaw a great uprising after Mandela's death. And that WND reports that such an uprising has indeed been planned. He also told of World War III starting sometime after the uprisings. At present, there are many precursor signs that World War III is near. I also found it interesting that he foresaw Britain betraying the United States to the Russians. If you remember the Hildegard prophecies that I posted a few weeks back, an analysis of her prophecy indicates that the lion, Britain, will come against the USA after the Great Comet comes. And I do believe that that's Planet X. Along with all of this physical turmoil, we will suffer a military loss in World War III at the hands of the Tiger, China, and England, the lion. So it looks as if many of Rensburg's prophecies have come true, and some more are starting to come true. Thus, That leads to the question, will the rest of his prophecies come true? And if so, what are the implications? Yes, and it does appear that they are continuing to come true. Some of them we can't say yet, but some of them we can, because even the things that have been passed or have happened since 2011 seem to be pointing that he was a very gifted prophet. Another prophecy, or bunch of prophecies given through Mother Shipton. You can't really take what history has to say about Mother Shipton. They drew pictures of her as a witch. Of course, you know, even in our country earlier, they made witches out of people who had gifts that they didn't like. And they, of course, all the way back through the scriptures, they made false prophets out of true prophets and killed them, just as Mother Shipton. I'll get into that later, but I'll just point out a few things that she said that so long ago that have come true. Here's one I'm going to share. And now a word in uncouth rhyme of what shall be in future time. There were many back in the era of the Catholic Church who put their prophecies in rhyme, or God put their prophecies in rhyme for a purpose, to protect them and to protect the future of their prophecy. Because, you know, the way rhymes are, they may be hard to interpret. Hers are not hard to interpret now, because we actually can see how they're interpreted and fulfilled, you know. But in those days, they didn't appreciate necessarily people who had that gift and many times called them witches. She said, then upside down the world shall be, and gold found at the root of tree. All England's sons that plow the land shall oft be seen with book in hand. I suppose of the things we've just read about the problems coming upon Britain, there could be a lot of people turned to the Lord, and that book could be the Bible. She does speak about the Bible. The poor shall now great wisdom know, great houses stand in far-flung vale, all covered over with snow and hail. A carriage without horse will go, disaster fill the world with woe. Yeah, a carriage without horse, we got a lot of them on out there now. I'm just going to read parts of this and so I can go on. Around the world men's thoughts will fly, quick as the twinkling of an eye. Well, I guess we have the internet for that, right? Among other things. And water shall great wonders do, how strange, and yet it shall come true. Through towering hills proud men shall ride, no horse or ass move by his side. Yeah, they ride all kinds of things now, but very few horses and asses, right? Beneath the water men shall walk, shall ride, shall sleep, shall even talk. And they do in submarines today, and even in tunnels, and even in underground cities, and etc., etc. And in the air men shall be seen, in white and black and even green. A great man then shall come and go, for prophecy declares it so. In water iron then shall float, something unheard of at that time, as easy as a wooden boat. Gold shall be seen in stream and stone, in land that is yet unknown. And here's a good part. And England shall admit a Jew. You think this strange, but it is true. The Jew that once was held in scorn, shall of a Christian then be born? Well, that's the best part right there. A house of glass shall come to pass in England. Oh, that's true. I mean, it's going to be crushed and broken, you know. But alas, alas, a war will follow with the work, where dwells the pagan and the Turk. These states will lock in fiercest strife and seek to take each other's life. When North shall thus divide the South, an eagle build in a lion's mouth. Well, that sounds like the lion is going to bring great trouble to the eagle, as we've already read. Then tax and blood and cruel war shall come to every humble door. Yep, what are they going to, how are they going to support their wars except with burdensome taxes on a people who've lost their economy? Three times shall lovely sunny France be led to play a bloody dance. Wow, that's going to come true too, isn't it? Before the people shall be free, three tyrant rulers shall she see. Three rulers in succession be, each springs from different dynasty. Then when the fiercest strife is done, England and France shall be as one. The British olive shall next then twine in marriage with a German vine. They're going to be joined together. Men walk beneath and over streams, beneath and over streams. Fulfilled shall be their wondrous dreams. For in those wondrous far-off days, the women shall adopt a craze to dress like men and trousers wear, and to cut off their locks of hair. They'll ride astride with brazen brow, as witches do on broomsticks now. Oh boy. And roaring monsters with man atop. Yeah, it would kind of look like that to somebody back then, wouldn't it? Sitting on top of a tank or a backhoe or a car or whatever, you know. They seem to eat the verdant crop, and men shall fly as birds do now, and give away the horse and plow. There'll be a sign for all to see, be sure that it will certain be. Then love shall die, and marriage cease, and nations wane as babes decrease. Yep, that's certainly coming to pass. And wives shall fondle cats and dogs, and men live much the same as hogs. Yeah, pets have really become an outlandish thing compared to history, right? In 1926, build houses light of straw and sticks, for then shall mighty wars be planned, and fire and sword shall sweep the land. Yep. When pictures seem alive with movement free, you know, I would say TV, right? Then boats like fishes swim beneath the sea. When men like birds shall scour the sky, then half the world, deep drenched in blood, shall die. For those who live the century through in fear and trembling, this shall do. Flee to the mountains and the dens, to bog and forest and wild fens. For storms will rage and oceans roar when Gabriel stands on sea and shore. In other words, when Gabriel stands up to defend the people, this is what's going to be happening. And truly, the strangest storms we've ever seen are happening. And as he blows his wondrous horn, old worlds die and new be born. A fiery dragon will cross the sky. There's planet X. Six times before this earth shall die. Does that sound possible? I think so. I was watching Gil Broussard's plotting of Planet X and how it passes right by in front of, if his plotting is correct, in front, barely meeting the junction before Earth does. And so, of course, we would be seeing Planet X for several rotations of the Earth. So it could be right. A fiery dragon will cross the sky six times before this Earth shall die. Mankind will tremble and frightened be for the sixth heralds in this prophecy. For 7 days and seven nights, man will watch this often awesome sight. The tides will rise beyond their ken and bite away the shores. And then the mountains will begin to roar and earthquakes split the plain to shore. Isn't that interesting? We're talking about just such a thing. And flooding waters rushing in will flood the lands with such a din that mankind cowers in muddy fen and snarls about his fellow men. They talk about hiding in the mud from Planet X. He bares his teeth and fights and kills and secrets food in secret hills. That's happening too, isn't it? And ugly is his fear. He lies to kill marauders, thieves, and spies. Yep, they're all prepared to do that. They're going to protect their food. They have to kill as many people as they have to, right? Man flees in terror from the floods and kills and rapes and lies in blood. And spilling blood by mankind's hands will stain and bitter many lands. And when the dragon's tail is gone, man forgets and smiles and carries on to apply himself. Too late, for mankind has earned the deserved fate. Yep, it's passed around before, and everybody forgets, right? His masked smile, his false grandeur, will serve the gods their anger stir, and they will send the dragon back to light the sky. His tail will crack upon the earth and rend the earth. And while we're finding the rending of the earth is pretty regular now, isn't it? And man shall flee, king, lord, and serf. But slowly they are routed out to seek diminishing waterspout. And men will die of thirst before, and oceans rise to mount the shore. And lands will crack and rend anew. You think it's strange? It will come true. And in some far-off distant land, some men, oh such a tiny band, will have to leave their solid mount and span the earth, those few to count. You reckon that's talking about America and the great revival that's going to go forth from America? I don't know. Who survives this unreadable and then begin the human race again? But not on land already there, but on ocean's beds, stark, dry, and bare. Not every soul on earth will die as the dragon's tail goes sweeping by. Not every land on earth will sink, but these will wallow in stench and stink of rotting bodies of beast and man, of vegetation, crisped on the land. Fried, in other words, right? But the land that rises from the sea will be dry and clean and soft and free of mankind's dirt, and therefore be the source of man's new dynasty. They also say that not only will lands disappear because of water movements from planet X, but lands will reappear or appear out of the earth that haven't been seen before. So that may be what she's talking about. And those that live will ever fear the dragon's tail for many years. But time erases memory. You think it's strange, but it will be. And before the race is built anew, a silver serpent comes to view and spew out men of like unknown to mingle with the earth now grown. Cold from its heat, these men can enlighten the minds of future man to intermingle and show them how to live and love and thus endow. I would say that's got to be God's people. The children with the second sight, a natural thing, so that they might grow graceful, humble, and when they do, the golden age will start anew. Yeah, the golden age when Jesus comes, right? But many are going to give up their swords and make them into plowshares, and there will be peace. The lion shall lay down with the lamb. These, I believe, represent people. The dragon's tail is but a sign for mankind's fall and man's decline. And before this prophecy is done, I shall be burned at the stake at one. My body singed, my soul set free. You think I utter blasphemy? You're wrong. These things have come to me. This prophecy will come to be. And so it was. You know, like many with the gift of prophecies, they had to hide them in these poems and for them to survive, and sometimes they didn't. They were, you know, accosted as witches. And of course, through the Bible, we can see that the apostates have always put to death any who corrected them. Of course, God is in the work of correcting man through prophecy. And they burned them as blasphemers, just as this says, against their evil leaders. And their kind have hated and tried to destroy all the prophets and their master too. And inside, this was a scroll, and it was wrapped in a scroll that had this on it. I know I go. I know I'm free. I know that this will come to be. Secreted this, for this will be found by later dynasty. And it is, I guess that happened too. A dairy maid, a bonny lass, shall kick this tone as she does pass. In five generations, she shall breed before one man-child or one male-child does learn to read. This is then held year by year till an iron monster, trembling fear, eats parchment, words, and quill and ink, and mankind is given time to think. Well, what do you suppose? You reckon this is the beast, you know, the iron and the clay? The iron being the offspring of the Roman Empire, a revival of the Roman Empire, the iron monster, eats parchment, words, and quill. In other words, just tries to destroy the scriptures again as they have in history, right? And only when this comes to be will mankind read this prophecy. But one man's sweet's another's bane, so I shall not have burned in vain. And she signed it, Mother Shipton. And according to Wikipedia, at least two men were caught adding to Mother Shipton's prophecies after her time. And I've seen lately something that I think was added after her time about friendly aliens coming to help us. So that section right there was kept apart from the other, and it appeared to have been written together yet as in a separate jar. Well, I think I will just read on here some more. The signs will be there for all to read when man shall do most heinous deed. We're obviously going to see if man is actually a higher creation than the beasts. And this is going to be proven to not be true. It will be just as Solomon said, that every man is as a beast. Because even the beasts don't go as far away from their created nature as man does. Beasts kill to eat. Man kills for many other goofy reasons, right? And there is these people that are being raised up now, they have no respect for anything living. They are so degenerate. When man shall do most heinous deed, man will ruin kinder lives by taking them as to their wives. And murder foul and brutal deed, when man will only think of greed. And man shall walk as if asleep. He does not look. He many not peep. And iron men the tale shall do, an iron cart and carriage too. The kings shall false promise make. Wow, we know about that, don't we? And talk just for talking's sake. Yeah. And nations plan horrific war, the like as never seen before. And taxes rise, and lively down the nations wear perpetual frown. How else are they going to support their heinous crimes and wars and make up things to fool the public so that they can get more money out of the public to do these things and make their underground cities, etc.? Yet greater sign there be to see as man nears latter century. Three sleeping mountains gather breath and spew out mud and ice and death. An earthquake swallowed town and town in lands as yet to me unknown. Yeah, we may have one of the worst earthquakes that will bring forth a volcanic action, spewing out mud and death. And Christian 1 fights Christian 2. We've seen that too, haven't we? But neither one of them are Christian, and I think that's the point she's making. And nations sigh, yet nothing do. And yellow men great power gain. Oh, we know that about that too, don't we? From mighty bear with whom they've lain. The bear, of course, Russia. The yellow men, China, right? These mighty tyrants will fail to do. They fail to split the world in two. But from their acts a danger bred, an ague leaving many dead. I'm not sure what ague means, but maybe it should have been an argue. I don't know. The physics find no remedy, for this is worse than leprosy. Oh, many signs for all to see the truth of this true prophecy. Pretty neat, I tell you. Well, here's a strange thing. I want to share this with you. Now, Lakeisha didn't know what I was thinking to share today. And she got a very strange dream and was told to quickly come and tell me. Don't take no for an answer. Lakeisha Davis, she received this today. I was outdoors and saw in my mind in front of me the shapes of certain countries, USA, Russia, China, and Britain. She said, I knew that the USA and Russia were allies, and that the USA as protecting China from Britain. Britain did not like that and was prepared for warfare. We saw our president, after he won the first election, this is my note, by the way, immediately insult Britain after receiving a gift from the Queen because of the election, and then ask Putin for patience until he got his administration going. Good. And when he didn't know that his mic was on. So I suspect we're seeing, you know, this betrayal. I ran to find protection. I ended up in front of this apartment. An apartment, of course, is like the church in that it's built together into one. Many houses built together into one, right? And in the front yard were thick plants. And I believe that these, she said, those heavy with flesh, or that's my interpretation, those heavy with flesh in the leadership, but were spiritually dead. Some had started to grow, but died. They were in dry earth. And there were others that were growing, but didn't mature. Well, this all sounds exactly like the parable of the sower, doesn't it? Where three quarters it fell away, right? And there is a great falling away coming. But there was one plant in the midst of them that was growing very fast. It was very green, thick as a tree. Does it remind you of that tree in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? Which represented him and his kingdom, which, by the way, devoured much grass or flesh, right? And had thick branches that looked like vines sprouting from it. The root had huge thorns, but as it grew, the thorns went away. Sounds like a deception, right? The beast kingdom coming to life before our eyes. I began climbing it rapidly in order to avoid being suffocated or crushed by this giant plant. It reminds me of Jack and the Beanstalk. It was growing multi-stories tall. Well, of course, the way for overcomers is to put it under their feet, which is basically what she was doing. She said, when I reached the top, the plant was almost finished growing and began to coil around itself. I thought, this looks like a snake. The old serpent, the dragon of Revelation 12, right? And when it finished growing, it turned into the form of a green snake. Then it came alive, though unable to move yet, and was yellow and orange, which are, of course, the colors of danger and warning, right? It looked mean. Yeah, it's coming to life. I stayed on top of it, knowing I would be safe. Well, I take from that that we must overcome it and put it under our feet every day. You know, the apostates and their deceptions and their hatred, they're all part of this kingdom. They're out to destroy Christianity, even though they would never believe that, nor say that they weren't Christians. So anyway, she said, I've had one other dream where I stood on top of a snake's head before entering into a banquet and meeting Jesus. Glory be to God. Well, we all have to overcome the beast. The flesh is a part of this wicked world and this wicked system, right? It has to die so that the spiritual man can be born and we can go into that banquet with Jesus, right? And she said, I've had three dreams where a monster was frozen but about to come to life to wreak havoc. Yep. Yep, it's coming. You can see it. Apparently, this was a dream within a dream, and I woke up in the dream and got dressed quickly to tell David about this dream. And the rest of this is all about how I need to listen to this dream and she needs to give it a warning before the fact. I'm glad it didn't happen this way, but anyway, you can tell it's a warning before the fact. And certainly, when she brought it to me, I was surprised because I was planning on talking about some of the very things that she talks about here, including Britain and so on and so forth. Outside my front door were multitudes of people in a huge courtyard. And David's apartment was on the opposite end of the complex. And I walked very quickly, passing some familiar faces. I had dropped something small, and a man returned it to me. And when I got to David's, I knocked on his door loudly. He rushed to get up and put on a long sleeve blue t-shirt. Reckon David here might represent the man child, the blue t-shirt representing heavenly. I don't know. I told him urgently, I have a dream to tell you. It's a warning for the people. And when he heard that it was only a dream, he was a little upset and laid back down because it was very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. It could be of a new day for the bride, which is positive, and the apostate church, which is negative. We are coming to a new day here for both. A promotion and a demotion. I became discouraged. And then he thought it might be from the Lord and be important, so he got back up and came outside and asked me to tell him in the dream. Tell him the dream. I said, no. He asked, why not? I said, because I'm discouraged. Then a white paper appeared with multiple writings, one of which implied that if I don't tell David the dream, quote, she shall have hers, unquote, talking about judgment. In other words, if you don't tell David this dream, I'm going to spank you. She said, so I decided to tell him because of fear of judgment if I didn't. And when I mentioned that the USA and Russia were allies, he said, that's deception, quote unquote. And I woke up. And this is because Russia is fighting against ISIS and the US has been supporting them covertly with food and weapons, just as the Israeli intelligence knows and the leaders in Europe know. They've all spoken about this. The Shiite Arab nations have complained of it because they've actually seen them, you know, offloading equipment and food to the ISIS people. And even the Russians know. But it is forbidden for the U.S. national news media, I'm going to call them that, to say this. Yeah. So it is a deception. And they've even acted like they were going out to fight ISIS, but nobody's ever seen anybody get killed by their fake war with ISIS. And, of course, everybody knows that all of the invasion is men of military age coming into the country, coming into Europe, starting the wars, The other day I read an article about, it was yesterday I think this happened, 1,000 of them gathered together in Germany in a marketplace and raped and robbed 100 women, they said. I don't know how accurate the report is, but it was just a terrible scene, people looking on and some even fighting with them, you know. So, and the government, of course, saying, well, we don't know that these are the immigrants, you know, trying to defend them and so on and so forth. Isn't this crazy? What does, I wonder what Obama has on them. I remember reading that European leaders were being spied on by the NSA. Now, what is the reason for this? Is this to get something on somebody so that they'll obey you? Then I read that they did the same thing with Congress. And I'm thinking, okay, they've been pretty quiet lately. They've pretty much rolled over and played dead. Is this the same kind of Chicago politics that we're seeing on a world stage? I believe so. I can't imagine that many people agreeing to have their own people assassinated or being that terribly liberal that they would have their own people die and then lie about it to continue the deception. They must clearly have some things on them. Maybe this thing with Volkswagen was one of those threats come true, because they have known about that for a long time. The U.S. have known about it. Now they're bringing it out. What is this for? Well, here's a more modern prophecy that was given of January of this year to Rachel Baxter. And she called it, "I am raising up the Josephs." Now, she doesn't call them the man-child. We have a lot of good explanation for the things she says. But she doesn't know us, I don't believe. She said, "On January the 3rd, 2016, I was awakened and I heard, see. I saw before me twirling figures as if dancing in another time, with sacks on their backs. They were adorned by jewelry, fancy clothes, and had their hair done up. I was made to understand that they were joyful in the Lord for having listened and prepared." And I believe that this is talking, she didn't give an interpretation of this, I don't think, but she said the joy, I believe it's the joy of the bride in the king's house, as it was with Esther. She has authority to save the elect of the church from the beast. And I believe that this is going to bring great joy to the bride to find out what their job is in these coming days. We know that Esther is a good example of that, of what the Lord has chosen the bride to do. Save the people from the beast, right? And it's going to be a joyful time for them to realize that they've been chosen to do this, along with Mordecai, the man-child. Mordecai means little boy or little man or man-child, right? Very interesting. And prepared. What is this? They listened and prepared. What has to be done here, saints? We have to prepare to be sanctified, to be holy, so that we can be used to save others. Much of the church has avoided their cross. They've avoided sanctification by the Word of God. They've avoided the things that we have to do to have this Passover. They've avoided eating the Lamb, who is the Word of God. who in Exodus chapter 12 saved the people by a Passover because they walked under the blood. There's preparation needs to be done. You have loved ones that need to see Jesus and not you. I have loved ones that need to see Jesus and not me. We need to prepare because there is a new day coming. The bride and the man-child who have been going through a crucifixion at the hands of the apostates, of the faction, and so on and so forth, a new day is coming. Authority and power is going to go forth from them. Great joy and in their deliverance from their crucifixion and so on and so forth. But now the rest of the church who hasn't been following the suit with the man, child, and the bride must be prepared to meet the Lord. And so the beast has been raised up to bring them to their cross. But as you know, knowledge and understanding of what God's purpose and method is going to cause people to learn to cooperate with the process. They don't understand tribulation and trouble. They all want to fly away. They believe they're going to escape it. They don't understand this is part of God's preparation to bring them to sanctification so that they may escape the judgment of the beast. Not by flying away. God is bigger than that. But they don't understand that. They need the knowledge that many of you have. They need the witness that many of you can give. And I pray that there are a multitude of the bride in the audience today that will be able to go and help prepare the virgins for what's coming. Amen. She said, "Then I heard, I am raising up the Josephs." Now, she doesn't give much of an explanation of the Josephs, but we know Joseph. He was sold out by his brethren. His own brothers persecuted him, lied about him, sold him into the hands of those that put him on the cross, right? And that's happening to the man child now. Joseph is the man child, which has come in many, many generations. And then she said, the date the famine begins is January the 16th. Well, that's mighty close. If it's this January, I don't know. But the date the famine begins? But Joseph, remember, Joseph came with 7 years of famine. And his brethren came out of Egypt at the end of the second year of famine. They came to know him, of who he was, and so on and so forth. I'm thinking that that's talking about the Jews coming back to the Lord, you know. But anyway, the date the famine begins is January the 16th. Now, normally, we don't get a date about when the 7 years begins, because in the Bible, they got that at the beginning of the 7 years, at the very beginning of it, right? And who got it? Well, Noah got it and Daniel got it, right? So the man-child, basically, is going to have this revelation, but he's going to have it at the very beginning. So Joseph, the man-child, and the 7 years of famine begin soon, for sure. And I don't know about the date of January the 16th, but listen to this. I just happened to look up the 16th and the 17th. And the 16th could be real, or it could be a symbol of the beginning of the covenant, because the next day, January the 17th, is a day of great earthquakes in history. And we know that great earthquakes are coming when they make the covenant to divide Israel and, of course, the church's land. And because they're going to do both with this covenant. So therefore, as before, we've received dates that things that happened in history were identified. So whether January the 16th is a literal date, I kind of doubt it. But it is definitely something spiritual. And I'm going to try to go get some links and put them in here when I post this so you can see great earthquakes on the 17th, not the 16th. So if we back up just a little bit, this thing, I am raising up Josephs. Josephs would be raised up at the beginning of what? The 7 days of famine. So she doesn't make any comment in here, so I don't know if she really understands that, but it certainly means something to us. So it could represent the symbol of the beginning of the covenant, because the next day, January the 17th, is the day of great earthquakes in history. And is God going to act quickly when they make the covenant? I don't believe we're going to know when they make the covenant, except that the signs that happen because of it. I think they're going to make it covertly, slyly, you know, like our president usually does things. He's going to be involved in it. The UN's going to be involved in it. But we're going to know it's happened because of the earthquakes and because of the man-child anointing. Okay? So, and then Rachel said, I went back to sleep, but was awakened again and saw in the spirit a huge pile of mechanical bows, but no arrows to go with them. Okay, so I'm going to give a little interpretation here. The man-child white horse rider with bow, but no arrows, because they are sent forth, represents the man-child sending forth his disciples to go and do the work. Okay, and I'd already read this a couple of days before and seen this. And then I put down the verses, Revelation 6 and 1, and Rob sent me his interpretation of this, which he also sent to her, which was the same as mine. In Revelation, and he didn't know I'd read this, and somebody had sent this to me and I'd read it. He didn't know that. So, anyway, Revelation 6, 1, and I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow. And there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. And as you know, at the beginning of the tribulation, just as Revelation 6, 1 and 2 is, that's when Moses went forth and to bring judgment. And Jesus came forth and brought judgment, as with the beast empire conquering Israel, just as he was after he was crucified, and on and on. And John and Revelation, etc., etc. You know, we keep seeing the same thing. The one who goes forth at the beginning, who brings judgment, is the man-child, not the Antichrist. The Antichrist will, but he doesn't ride a white horse. You say, well, that's deception. Well, why are all the rest of the horses not deception? They depict exactly what groups of people are doing and being used by. They all are honest predictions, not one wrong and the rest of them all right. No. And when we look in history, that's where the man-child ministry starts its work. At that time, at the very beginning. So then Rachel says, I went back to sleep again, but was awakened again and saw in the spirit, as if in the corner of my room, a very tall figure that appeared to be in a dark robe. Have you ever seen that depiction of the spirit of death, the death angel, whatever? I heard, "Tell them what is coming," quote unquote. And I said, "Yes, I will tell them anything you say." And this is, of course, the destroyer, the death angel that comes through on the Passover, which is what? It just at the time when God's people are going into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 calls the tribulation. So, this is the destroyer, the death angel that comes through on Passover. But those living under the blood are protected, as in Exodus chapter 12. And we have to tell them that there is a place of safety. There is a place of Psalm 91 being fulfilled, because they're in the secret place of the Most High. They're under the shadow of the Almighty. He's hidden them under His wing. So we must tell them they don't know about the Passover. They don't know they're expected to keep a spiritual Passover of living under the blood. The Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Isn't that awesome? The cleansing of the blood. The covering and the cleansing of the blood is where our safety is. And it comes from eating the Lamb. And we know that the Lamb is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Because God expects His people to be obedient to His Word. All judgment in the Bible came because people were disobedient to His Word. And now we hear that people don't have to obey. They just have to accept Jesus Christ. Well, these are lying, demonically sent leaders that are going to bring destruction to the church. This harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets and of all that have been slain upon the earth. So, we must be prepared. And we must tell people, you have to have a Passover. You had to eat all the lamb. His innards, his mind, his legs. His innards meaning the heart. His mind meaning the mind of Christ, and the legs being the walk of Christ. If any man abides in Him, let him walk as He walked. There is no place of safety but abiding in Him, the secret place of the Most High. Right? And so, we must be able to tell people this. We must have to tell people this, because many are going to lose their lives because they don't know this. So, He said, tell them what is coming. Tell them what's coming. In my head I heard, there's no God like Jehovah, playing over and over again from deep within me. Well, amen. We have to make our God the God, right? You can't just make up Jesus, right? You can't make up your own Jesus. You can't save. It's the Word. It's the Word that has to be eaten for the Passover. He was the Word made flesh. If you ate His flesh, you ate the Word. So therefore, we have to have the Jesus of the Word. And they don't have that. Most of the church doesn't have that. And they don't even think it's necessary. That they can believe their lying leaders, and they can just believe what they want to believe. So, Rachel gave some interpretation here. She said, contemplating these things, I believe the first vision represents a picture of those who will have plenty in the time of famine that is coming upon our nation. And this is what the Bible says about the bride. And we are facing a great famine And I feel that this will be a time of a lack of food. Yes, that's that too. But a famine of the word. She said, and a lack of all resources for many people who have been asleep to the times that we're living in. That's true. But for those who have been and are awake, they will rejoice in the Lord for His great provision. Right, the provision comes because of the Passover. Okay. So, the famine, if you go back to what she said after she spoke about the Josephs are coming, that the famine was also there, the very next word she gave, then it makes me believe that the famine is talking about not the a physical famine, but the famine called the 7 years of the tribulation. The seven ugly years. We've already been through the 7 good years, and all that's crumbling, as you know. She went on to say, I asked the Lord to help me understand what the pile of bows with no arrows represents. I feel it will be a time of great war when so many will lose their lives that all the arrows will be used up, and there will be no more men to carry the fight with the bows. Well, I feel it's talking about the man-child ministry, whose bow was empty, because Jesus, who was the man-child, gave us the type and shadow that when He sent forth His disciples, thy children are thine arrows, the Bible says. Okay, so that is history about to repeat on a much larger scale. This time it's a pile of bows. Praise God. No one individual can do this, but Christ and many first fruits individuals can do this. And that's what fruit is. Fruit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. She went on to say the tall figure in a dark robe represents the angel of death and destruction who has been given the key to death and Hades. He is coming to take many who are living outside of the Lord. Yes, that's a big amen. I agree. And then I heard this. Write what I have to say to the nations. You have not heeded my warnings. You have not stopped to bow to me. Now will I break your back. Well, how is God going to do that? Well, Planet X, earthquakes, ISIS invasion, World War III, etc., 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 right? You forget that it is I that raises up kings and nations, and it is I that causes them to fall. Talking about the fall of nations. These judgments will bring down nations. But you will remember again. Now that's good news. That some are going to take the correction and do something with it. I believe multitudes of people are going to turn to the Lord. I know it. Ain't God good? He's giving us warning. He's blessing us. He's blessing us to understand these things. And some have not understood these yet. They're very sheltered in their little clique, in their little religious clique, or they're out there in the world still and they don't know anything about Jesus. But many will know, and many will turn to God. And I got to say, folks, everybody's trying to, come against President Obama, but President Obama is going to save multitudes of people. If it wasn't a President Obama doing exactly what he's doing, a lot of people would die and go to hell. He's going to save the elect. He's going to be used to save the elect. Amen. Don't even worry about President Obama. Or especially don't go fighting against him. Fight against the principalities and powers. Most of the church doesn't know that they have authority over the principalities and powers. But if they fight in the flesh, they're breaking their own covenant with God. And that's what everybody's stirring people up to do. Let's stop Obama. If you stop Obama, a lot of people are not going to get saved. You can't make these people understand this. They don't believe in the sovereignty of God. It's not our job to stop Obama. It's our job to obey the Lord. He will make in perfect... If a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. So this is what we need to do, is be on God's side. Then he protects people who are being obedient. There's no warning in the Bible against people who are obedient. They're all against disobedient people. He said, I'm going to render to every man according to his works. The disobedient people are the ones that have to watch out. And some of them will be taken away before their time because of this. Some of them have never picked up the Bible in their lives but go to church. But they don't know the Jesus of the Bible. And this is what we have to do. Rachel said, I call to you now, my people, to awake from your slumber. Sober up, so that you can see what is going on around you. Listen to my voice and follow me. The war will rage around you. Many will fall at your right hand and your left, but determine to keep your eyes on me. I will lead you through the darkness and into the great light of my children. Amen. And once you have all that, you don't care about staying here anyway. You really don't. But you'll stay here in order to be used by the Savior to bring His people in. Right? You will gladly do it for that, to serve Him. Right? Amen. She said, I was led to Ephesians 3, where the Apostle Paul writes, Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, amen. Praise God. That's good preaching, Paul. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith in Him. Notice that. If you believe Him, not just any Him, the Him of the Bible, the Word of God, if you believe His Word, you have access with confidence because of that faith. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now, Jesus is not going to have any problem with these things that are coming. So, let Christ be in you through the Word of God. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to actually she has comprehend here, because some versions have that, but the actual word there is apprehend. Apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of what? Christ, the Word of God. He doesn't want you to comprehend it. He wants you to apprehend it. It has to be yours. This is what fruit is. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that interesting? So they're all wrong that say you don't need to be filled with the fullness of God and it can't be possible. They must believe Paul was crazy for praying such a prayer. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, listen. Paul was asking and thinking this. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And he's saying that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that. Wow, man. But they don't even think he can do that. That's the problem. That's dead religion for you. They've got no experience of the fruit of God. Or they would know this is that what they've believed and taught is a lie. According to the power that worketh in us. Not our power. They say man can't do this. Well, that's never been a question. I mean, it's God's power because of your faith. Right? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Yes, I agree. She said, I then saw a picture of a great expanse of tents that looked like small army tents propped up in a wide open space. I believe it's temporary tabernacles in the wilderness who are not prepared because they're not living under the blood. They are exposed to all the elements and are defenseless against the forces of nature. In other words, they're not keeping the spiritual Passover. I then see in the distance a mighty and marvelous castle, fortress. And I'm reminded of the way the Lord made a way for Joseph to be positioned safely in the castle of the ruler and to have authority over the riches of the kingdom. And I might add, Mordecai and Esther safely in the king's castle and fortress. God Almighty is inviting us into his castle, she says, in this late hour. Some of us have been living just outside the gates, so we don't have far to go. We are being made to see the storm coming, and he is calling us to come inside. Still others have erected their flimsy tent covering very far from the mighty castle of the Lord. They have a long journey to get from where they are, living under the lie of the false covering, truly exposed and vulnerable to where the castle of the Lord is and where safety can be found. They must awaken right now to have time to make it before the great storm arises and is raging and there is no longer a way. Every false covering will be destroyed and all those who choose to dwell in them. Well, amen. I remember Michael Hare did a calculation the other day that out of the 7 billion people in the world, only 1.2 billion will survive the first three trumpets. What do we need? We need exactly what she said here. Praise God. And this is a dream that Merlene shared with us the other morning that she had. In fact, she said, I had a brief dream three separate times the same night. Must be important, wouldn't you say? People need to understand this. I remember seeing that there was a paved road, knowing that it was just outside the city. Well, I think Babylon is the beast city which conquered God's apostate people. Then a bright blue car slowly came to a stop. All of a sudden, the driver door opened, and it fell off its hinges to the road. The woman inside that had been driving glanced down at the door, but then frantically started reaching for a little boy, 2 to 3 years old, who was strapped to his seat. And I believe the church is fruit of Jesus is very immature. They represent to the world very little of the Jesus of the Bible. She had put him in her arms and had just got out of the car when the roof lifted off the car. There goes that covering, for goodness sake. The roof lifted off the car, going several feet in the air, and crashed down on the road. She said, I remember no explosion. Well, I believe this is talking about the structure and organization that contains the church, and it's fake. They think it's heavenly, represented by the blue, but their rest, which is what an automobile does, you just rest, it does all the work, right? It gets you there, it takes you down the path, right? Their rest is carnal. They're resting in the flesh, not resting in the spirit, right? And the beast will take this false organization apart, piece by piece, because it's not the Lord. And the wind and the rains blew and took down that house. Because why? Because they weren't obedient in Jesus' parable. She said, this same dream played out 3 times. Well, and Joseph, of course, said that when a dream is doubled, it's surely going to come to pass, right? And I would just get to sleep, and I would have it again. And after the first time, I said, Lord, is this woman in trouble right now? And I prayed in the Spirit. And the second time, I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? And then the third came, and I prayed again. I tell you, this apostate Christianity is going to be taken apart piece by piece. And there's nothing that can be done to stop it. No bullets, no guns, no rebellion against God when He commands you not to do this. Nothing is going to stop it. It's going to be torn to pieces because it's not the kingdom of the Lord. He's going to bring it right back down to the rock. You know, we need to be founded on the rock. When all that's on sand, right, it's all going to be swept away. And God has ordained the leadership that's in the world right now to begin this. They're going to start taking it apart. And there's nothing you can do. Nobody will stand up to defend you. No government, no right wing is going to be able to defend you. It's going to go down in flames. We'll only be able to trust in the Lord. No other idol will live through this. It's all going to crumble. And of course, we're all going to cry as we see this happening, but it has to happen. People must begin anew. They must come out of these mega churches that are dead as they can be, that don't teach truth. They're very happy there, very comfortable there, but nobody's bearing their cross. It all has to come down, and it will come down. And by the hand of the Lord, I might add, not by the hand of Obama or anybody else, by the hand of the Lord. Obama is ordained of God to do this. Just as he claimed the leadership of every beast empire and used them against his people who were in rebellion to his word. Now history repeats. The things that have been are the things that shall be. No, we don't want to stop anything that the Lord is doing. We don't want to be found fighting against God. We want to cooperate. There are people out there, when they come to repentance, under the pressure of these things, we can give them direction. We can show them how to cooperate with God in their cross, in bearing their cross. We can show them, but we're not. I mean, Jesus, when he was on the earth, he could have wiped out Herod and Caesar and all these things. That wasn't his plan. He didn't even get into politics very much. He knew that the Father had all that under control. And just as John said, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. What you see out there is coming from heaven. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. All of these things are coming about by the will of God and are merely a repetition of history of what God said he's done before. Say, God wouldn't do that. Go back and read your Bible. He's done it. He's done it. He's done it. He's done it the exact same way. Every time. And he is going to use this beast to bring Christianity to the cross. And those that refuse to go will lose their eternal life. Because we have to die. And the way you die is when you obey the Bible instead of your flesh. Your flesh don't want to go to no cross. It'll take up arms. It'll do what's necessary. It'll rail at the people bringing him to the cross. Jesus didn't do that. The beast brought him to the cross, the Roman Empire. And they got their authority from the harlot of apostate Judaism. And the false prophet, the Sanhedrin, they got their authority from them. And yes, there are many people that have been thought to be Christians or they believe they're Christians that are going to side with the beast, demonically possessed, because they wouldn't obey God. God turns them over to the mind of the flesh, the mind of the beast, right? And they will fight against you. And they will fight against, they will try to destroy people from hearing the gospel, just as the faction did. They did everything they could to try to discredit the gospel that we preach. But they have lost. Well, Father, we hope that people will cooperate with you in this process, knowing that you are in control. No man is in control. No flimsy kingdom of man is in control. You are in control. And you can make their enemies to be at peace with them as soon as they lay down on the cross. Right? So, Father, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you teach your people to cooperate quickly, so that they don't have to be taken away, but can be used in this great revival that's coming. We ask, Lord, that you send forth your mighty blessings of wisdom to your people, that you give them dreams and visions and revelations and prepare them for these things, and prepare them to turn the other cheek, love their enemy, do good to them that despitefully use them, do those things that are... a revelation of your cross. Let them not fight or kill or murder people that want to bring them to their cross, but let them, like Jesus, like a lamb led to slaughter. He gave us his example. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, teach us, Lord. Give us wisdom, Father. Grant us grace to be overcomers, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.